Hello, everyone. I'm John Melke, and this is Parkside Today. I'm joined by John Brook, Director of Facilities Management here at UW Parkside. John, welcome.
Thank you, John, for having me.
So as Director of Facilities Management, how would you classify, characterize, list your responsibilities and duties here at the university?
Sure.
And now, we only have 30 minutes.
So, oh, okay. Yeah. Well, the shortened version is, you got to be a little bit of a firefighter every day. Mm-hmm. Every day is a little bit different, right? Yeah, so you're always putting out little fires. But in general, I oversee the operation of the management of all of the buildings and grounds on campus in some form or fashion. So if it's too hot, too cold, in the summer we need to mow the grounds. In the winter we need to plow the snow.
Yeah.
In addition to that day-to-day maintenance, I'm also in charge of the capital planning process for the university, and then also management of smaller projects around the campus. So let's say a department wants to create a new lab space for the GIS program on campus. They would work through facilities management to design that space and work with them to build it out and deliver that for the department and the students.
Right, which they recently did with the new GIS lab.
Yes.
Right, which looks very nice. I want to get to some of the other stuff, too, but you mentioned the capital projects.
Yes.
The university is in the midst of enhancing the Wiley Hall, the Wiley Hall renovation project, which was funded as part of the 2017-2019 biennial budget, state biennial budget, and the capital funding for that. How, when you look at a, that's a big project where it's taking up an entire building and trying to figure out how you keep that building up and running and yet do the construction. It would seem that that a project of that size could almost chew up your entire day, your entire week, your entire month. How do you balance that with the day-to-day firefighting?
Sure. Well, I think it's important to note that with the Wiley project, there had been a fair amount of work. I've only been here just under 3 years, so there was a fair amount of pre-work that was done ahead of me getting here, and actually the project was enumerated shortly after I started. But the work of the campus ahead of time to sort of design this out, what they wanted to see from the project was really important. There's a core group of campus leaders that are that have been part of, and you've been a part of that as well as a member of that core team, to sort of meet and go through the phases of design, make sure that we're meeting the needs of not only our students, but also the staff that are going to be working in those spaces. That helps me immensely from the project planning standpoint. We start getting into the execution of the project. All that pre-work will be good to have in place.
Yeah.
But I also think that having a good team in FM is going to be key to me keeping my sanity, but also to the campus operating normally. I've got really good department managers, and they're going to get leaned on by me to do what they already do very well. They're pretty autonomous, and we meet and we touch base on what the needs of the campus are. And if they have a question, I try to get it answered for them. But day to day, they're really good at operating their particular units, and it takes a lot of stress off of me, and I can focus my attention other places.
Sure.
But it will eat up a fair amount of my time.
And in addition to the the responsibilities that you just kind of highlighted to start this off, there's another responsibility that you have, and that's public relations, as I've seen you on tours with legislators, with UW system officials to talk about the project.
And, yes.
And, I mean, seriously, that's an important position, because when someone is walking through and we are trying to demonstrate to them why this is an important project, why the funding is important, why the support for the project is important, a lot of it comes from what do they hear about the project?
Yeah, certainly advocacy for our project needs is a big part of the capital project. It was something that I hadn't experienced before in any previous stop. So it was exciting and a little bit nerve-wracking at the same time to go through that process. But it is I think it's an important part of getting that funding from the state is helping the legislators or helping even leaders in UW system understand why it's important.
Sure.
From whether it's a infrastructure standpoint or just life safety, or why it's important from a functionality for a learning environment standpoint. And I don't know that you get that just reading a 20-page request from a university on paper. Getting out in the field and actually seeing it and the impact, I think, is very it's very impactful for those people to actually see in the field what it is you're talking about and what the everyday impact is for these projects and these asks.
And having been along on a number of those tours and those, I don't want to say demonstration, but to show various people why these projects are important, the other thing I see is they are looking for someone who is able to communicate in a confident way, explain to them in a way that's easily understandable as to why this project needs to be funded. Why does this project have to move forward? So it's not just coming out there and smiling and selling it. It's being able to convey that information concisely and in something that they can relate to.
Absolutely.
What we're talking with John Brook, Director of Facilities Management here at UW Parkside, and we've touched a little bit on the capital projects and some of the some of his responsibilities as the physical area and maybe changing some classrooms or a new lab people want to see a new lab come online. But as we're entering the wonderful time of year in Wisconsin known as winter, winter has to be a different kind of duck for you guys to deal with.
I would say yes, it does. And winter came early this year too. Yeah. It was an interesting trick on Halloween for what was it, 6-ish inches of snow. So, it is interesting. We have to be ready for it. Pretty much any time from October through even last spring, we got snow in April.
Right.
I mean, relatively far into April as well. So.
Right. How do you prepare or plan for, you're almost preparing or planning for the unknown. You don't know what's going to happen. We'll get the weather reports and stuff, but at any minute, something could change and all of a sudden you're dealing with keeping the campus safe and open.
Yeah. So having a snow plan, is really the start of it. Mm-hmm. Making sure that you've got a plan that anybody on campus has a general idea of how you're going to attack any snow, mm-hmm. any snowfall, mm-hmm. Helps set expectations, helps sort of ease people's mind that they know, hey, I read the snow plan. Hey, I'm on there. Good. They know about me. I'm going to get taken care of.
Yeah.
But then behind that snow plan is a more detailed plan for our guys in FM about some stuff as mundane as where to put the snow when you're pushing it around these big parking lots, not create blind spots or not create extra issues where it melts and runs back over the road and refreezes, during the course of the winter and causes additional problems.
Yeah.
Making sure that we've got that everybody knows where on campus everything that needs snow removal is located, mm-hmm. and what the order and the sequence is for that, and then taking them through it is a big step. For me also, appointing a snow boss, and that's our ground supervisor, JR, mm-hmm. JR Reed.
Yeah. Who lives here, I'm pretty sure.
He pretty much does. Yeah. I think we've built a bedroom in his office.
Yeah.
He's very diligent about tracking the weather from multiple sources. That's the other thing. I mean, you really have to gather as much information as you can. Weather modeling's gotten, we all joke about, whatever the success rate of the meteorologist is predicting things. But over the years, the modeling's gotten pretty good. Mm-hmm. And we've been able to rely on that. And you make a call, and most times you're right. Sometimes you're like, I called the crew in, and we probably could have waited a couple hours we didn't get as much snow as they anticipated. But it's all about that pre-planning, having a plan, monitoring your conditions. We send our grounds crew members to local snow removal training courses every year to make sure that they're what are the latest trends in pavement temperature readings, or using chemistry like salt brine solutions and road salt, and when to and when not to, and mm-hmm. all of those things play a factor as well. It's not just moving the stuff around with heavy equipment, which admittedly is fun.
Yeah.
But there is a little bit of a science to it as well. So because there's a cost to it. There's a cost to the labor, the time out there, the road salt that we use costs us. You know, so we have to make sure that we're managing that and we're diligent.
Yeah.
But winter it's 6 months in this climate, so you got to be ready for anything.
Yeah, you touched on the salt brine,
mm-hmm.
and that's, I mean, it's using that and when you see, you know, we're probably all pretty familiar with you. You drive down the highway and there's like the little ribbons of of the salt brine. It doesn't seem that it's been a tactic that's been used for that long a period of time. It seems like a fairly newer tactic, mm-hmm.
It's relatively new.
Does it work?
Yeah, it does. Like any of these technologies, it has its limitations, but there is definitely a time and a place for it where it can help you reduce your... could be your salt use, increase your safety because it reduces slick spots, could also reduce the amount of time you have out there shoveling, which is probably the most labor intensive of the snow removal. Plus, if the safety officer was here, he'd tell me it also reduces your instances of an injury.
Yeah. Right,
Does
it last only so long? Like if you put it down, it's not like, oh, I can put it down and 6 months from now, it's still going to work for you.
Correct. There is a time frame. That time frame for it is generally shortened if you get a rain or sleet event because it'll wash it away.
Yeah.
And it's generally better on the lighter, fluffy snows or if they're expecting a trace or, you know, even if they're expecting it doesn't happen here often, but if you're getting an ice storm, that can be helpful as well in sort of mitigating that. It also lessens your salt load as well, which is important for runoff and stormwater management.
Mm-hmm.
Most people think stormwater, they think rainwater, but snow is essentially the same thing, right?
Sure, yeah.
But we've been using brine for a handful of years here. We have a approximately 300-gallon brining tank in the facilities management building and a brine application.
Now, is that this time of year? Are you doing turkeys in there too?
That's right. We got 30 turkeys over there. And
wow.
Yeah. No. But we have the brining tank and all of that, and we'll go out and hit the sidewalks. It's primarily for sidewalks and stairways and ADA ramps. We don't have any large roadway brining equipment for the parking lots or the roadways. So. Yeah. It's just not overly feasible for us.
So is the area of responsibility when it comes to snow removal, does your team worry about Wood Road, AE, JR, or is that county?
Yeah, so the county roads, A, E, G, and JR, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, okay.
Yep, yep, yep.
Those are all the county roads. We will, it's inevitable as you're going from main campus to the east campus, you're going to pass through that roundabout on Wood Road.
Yeah.
Well, we got the plow drop, so we'll help the county out there, you know, half a pass, you know, but primarily those are the county's responsibilities. We have Outer Loop Road, Service Road Drive, the Parkside Boulevard, the Avenue of the Arts, are the main roadways on campus. And then all the parking lots and all the sidewalks, and it's not just FM on the sidewalks. Steph and her team at the student center and Steve and his team over in housing do a real good job of they'll shovel out to the main drag of the sidewalk
and then
we'll pick it up from there so
their
buildings are ready to go. I mean, we're in student center right now and this is where the main dining facility is, and those roughly 900 students on campus got to get here to eat.
Sure.
You know.
And it wasn't that long ago when somebody said this, and I, for as long as I've been here at UW-Parkside, I didn't picture it this way, but, you know, talking about Stephanie Servatka-Marshall, director of the Student Center, Steve Wallner, Dean of Students, and what they do in this area. And it is like, it's like a little city that somebody may be out here coming to a foreign film event at 9 o'clock at night or leaving campus at 9 o'clock at night, or someone is coming to a basketball game and leaving it. I mean, your guys, your team, the men and women that are part of facilities team, you're almost, it's almost like a 24-hour-a-day job, right?
Yeah. No, it can be. There are elements of our operation that are 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
The heating and chilling plant on campus is a 24/7, 365 operation.
Yeah. The award-winning heating and chilling plant.
That's right.
Why are they an award-winning heating and chilling
plant? Well, I think it's more Dale is the award winner as the outstanding staff member. I will contend that the heating and chilling plant on campus is the cleanest, safest, and most well-maintained in the UW system. And, and I wouldn't be alone in that contention anywhere else outside of here. So, but that's, 24/7, and that's your, heating and chilling plant. That's your heat in the winter and your chilled water in the summer, but it's also your central utility plant. So the electrical service for the campus runs through there and your domestic water service and everything else. So they need somebody there all the time to make sure that that's up and running, and running safely. It's the most critical square footage on campus. If that physical square footage goes down, we all go home for a while,
right?
Until they get it figured out. Charles Lott, the custodial supervisor, he's got basically three shifts running 24 hours a day, but only 5 days a week. So we'll ramp up if there's a big event like this past weekend, the craft fair was here. So we had, we had staff here to help out with that. And the grounds are here on a basic, 8 hour shift. But if we need them to come in for the winter months for this sort of stuff, I mean, and again, it goes back to the planning I was talking about earlier. Everything that goes on campus, is in that central event management system. And it's easy for us to pull a list on a given day or week and go, okay, what's coming up? And it'll be real important with the holidays coming up and people taking vacation to be with family and whatnot to kind of look ahead and go, all right, we're expecting some winter weather in between New Year's and, or in between Christmas and New Year's. Who's here? What do we got? What events are going on campus? There have been times where there's nothing going on campus, so we may only bring in one person to do a couple of quick main lane clearing so that people can get around campus until till the next event. And then we bring the staff in advance of that event to get stuff cleaned up. There have been times, and it happened as recent as last winter, where we had a couple of people sacked out in the FM building because they were calling for 10 inches of snow overnight and they commute.
Yeah.
And so they just, sleep on an air mattress in the FM building and get up at 3 a.m. and come out and do it.
I mean, that's one of the things that, you get here, and there's been very few times that I've come in at 7:30 in the morning on a day when maybe the campus shouldn't look as good as it does because of the snow, and you walk in and it's like, oh, okay, good. Campus is clean. I can walk in, really not getting my shoes very full of snow or anything like that. And you forget that somebody did this before 7:30 in the
somebody
morning.
Somebody had to be in here. Yeah. And I appreciate you saying that. And we take a lot of pride. I personally take a lot of pride in the team being able to come in and do it. I hear that a lot too. People come in and going, oh man, the roads in my subdivision or around wherever they were brutal this morning. And I got here and
what happened?
Yeah, what happened? Did it snow on Parkside?
It's the dome.
Yeah, that's right. The retractable roof.
A lot of people don't know about that. We're talking with John Brook, Director of Facilities Management here at UW Parkside. John, what are some of the areas of campus that, maybe they're not as visible to visitors to campus or to the learning community, but yet they still demand attention from facilities management? You're looking at 700 acres, highways E and 31 to even beyond A and Wood Road. But what are some of those some of those hidden gems?
Oh boy! So one of the areas we talked about briefly was the heating and chilling plant. I believe you've had the opportunity to take a tour.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, and it is.
And the part about the tour that surprised me the most, was when Dale Lovejoy told me that there's a 3 gazillion gallon tank of fuel oil so that when We Energies calls and says, hey, could you shut down for a little bit because we've got, in the winter we need this or that and you need to go over to the fuel oil. I thought, seriously?
Yeah.
Wow, crazy.
There's a 30,000 gallon number 2 fuel oil tank in the ground next to the heating and chilling plant.
Wow.
We're one of the bigger users, obviously, of natural gas from We Energies, and occasionally they will curtail their heavy users in times of high demand.
Yeah.
Last January, it happened twice during that real bad cold snap.
Yeah.
It hadn't happened on this campus probably in 23-ish years, I think it was the last time. Dale says it was in the mid-90s the last time it happened.
Wow.
And when they do that, he'll run that tank down, and he's got a few days of fuel in that tank. But then it takes a couple of trucks to fill that back up when it's done.
Yeah.
But I'd say the heating plant's one of those areas not a lot of people get into, and there's a lot that goes on in there, mm-hmm. and it's got to be very well maintained. I mean, you've got four boilers in there. You've got a lot of water chemistry in there that's got to be done and be done well and diligent to make sure that we are providing good utility service to the campus. Just behind the heating and chilling plant to the north is the main substation for campus. So the main electrical service coming in and out, and the main substation is there. And once a year, typically the first weekend in June, we cut power to the whole campus and do a full campus clean and maintenance of all of the electrical switch gears, including the main one, and do any services. And again, something that costs a little bit of money to do because you're bringing in a handful of people on a weekend, but it goes a long way because it increases your reliability.
Yeah. So project management is key in your job. I mean, if the planning and the project management isn't there, things are probably not going to go well.
Yeah, it's gonna go off the rails. You'll have some unhappy people. You can get by with it for a little while.
Yeah.
But over time, when you're dealing with systems as complex and as big as the ones we have on a university campus, if you're not maintaining them, if you're not diligent with it, it can cause you problems in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd say one other area that most people don't know about that is another sort of a hidden gem, as you said, is the utility tunnel from the central plant feeding main campus. It's a little over a half mile long underground tunnel. It's about 8 feet underground, extends from 8 feet to 22 feet underground, and it is a concrete box conduit, and you can walk it. I mean, Dale Lovejoy is about 6'2", and he can walk in there no problems. I mean, you've got, you know, a good almost 7 feet of room.
Yeah.
Height-wise, and then it carries all your main piping and services up to the main campus. And that's got to be maintained, water pumped out of it occasionally, and just make sure that it's not deteriorating because, again, it's a vital artery to the campus.
Sure.
So most people wouldn't know about it because it's caged off. It used to not be.
Yeah, because we've taken all of the state representatives, state senators that have toured campus and as we prepared for budget the last two cycles have been, I give them credit, they follow you into the tunnel.
They follow me into you never know what you're going to find in there.
Yeah.
It's generally just water, but I'm sure there's other things. I haven't hung out in there too much in the warm months, but I would imagine my heating plant operators find all sorts of fun critters in there when they're doing work in the summer. But and that's another project on the list is for us to do repairs and waterproofing and make sure that we've got that tunnel in good in good shape for the next 20 years.
I know you shared this with campus just a couple weeks ago, especially during the when we had the amazingly early snow. But when you're talking to people about staying safe, especially during the winter months, whether you're walking around here on campus or whether you're walking in downtown Racine or Kenosha, what are John Brooks' winter safety tips?
Move to Arizona.
Number one.
I hear Scottsdale's lovely this time of year. I would say that in general, just give yourself extra time to get wherever you're going in the winter, right? I don't know if it actually is anything or not. This can be an old parental tale from my youth, but always make sure you got more than 3/4 of a tank of gas in cold weather. I honestly have no idea if that's a legitimate thing or not, but I can guarantee you I don't let the gas tank get particularly low in the cold months. And I have, again, no basis for whether or not that's actually a thing or not. But extra time because if the roads don't look slick, they still could be. Mm-hmm. Even if you're the world's best driver, you got to basically drive defensively like everybody else isn't, and just be aware of your surroundings. I think most of the stuff in the winter that happens is because people are just they're moving at the same speed they're moving in June.
Right. Right.
And it's bad things can happen when that happens. Yeah. But
I mean, even walking, you need to, you're walking a little slower. You're
walking like
staying,
a penguin.
If
you're looking at the alerts that are sent out from the safety office and the HR office about it.
Right.
It's funny, but it works.
Right. Yeah. It does. Talking with John Brook, Director of Facilities Management here at UW Parkside. John, what's your favorite comedy movie of all time?
Oh, boy. Favorite comedy movie of
all favorite, maybe
all
even
time.
Favorite line. I have a line from a movie that I think applies to today's question or today's topic, and that would be the line 220, 221,
whatever it takes. Mr. Mom.
I love that line.
Tear this wing off and add a whole
like
new wing on
guy.
Here and, you know, of course, rewire it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
No, Mr. Mom is a fantastic movie. That was actually a Halloween costume a couple of years ago when I went with my kids. I went as Mr. Mom with the overalls and the white shirt and the chainsaw, which freaked out a couple of parents in the neighborhood until one guy who was in a Cat in the Hat costume with his small children.
Uh-huh.
We sort of looked at each other that looked like, yeah, you're in a costume too, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. And he looks at me, he goes, Jack Butler? And I just gave him the thumbs up. He was the only guy that got it.
Wow.
Now, best comedy movie. You really can't go wrong with anything from Mel Brooks. I would say either Young Frankenstein or Blazing Saddles are just hilarious.
Yeah.
He's a comic genius. So I would say either one of those, but there are so many, right? There are so many.
Yeah.
But I would say either one of those would probably be my favorite. I own them both and watch them frequently.
Yeah. And even I don't know right now if I'm going to think of the name of it, but the Mel Brooks comedy where he's part of a theater troupe in Poland, and it's not
the producers, it's
and who's the guy that was in Animal House? Is that Matheson?
He's also Vice President Hoynes in West Wing.
Just
an interesting juxtaposition if you've, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
From Eric Stratton, Rush Chairman to the Vice President of the United States.
Right.
That's quite a range. I can't think of the movie. It hasn't popped into my consciousness.
Yeah. I can't think of the title other than.
I mean, I could IMDb it while we're on the radio, but you know.
We could do that. you talked. We've got time for a little bit more. And one thing I definitely want to touch on because it's such an important part of the campus looking good, staying safe, and that's the team members in facilities management. And what do you think, what does it take to be somebody who can do that, those particular tasks, do them well, and is there a mindset or is there a personality that fits with, because they're here, they never know when, in some cases, when they're going to be called upon to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And they're oftentimes they're the face of the university because someone comes in and they see them working in a particular area of campus, and they have their facilities management ID clothing on.
That's right.
And they're going to ask that person a question.
Yep.
And how that person reacts does a lot to what is that person's experience like here on campus.
Sure. I would say if you're going to work in facilities, you have to be okay with a certain degree of uncertainty day to day. I mean, there is a routine. But I think the routine is to sort of expect the unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do your job, but be flexible enough to know that on any given day, you know, you could be down a person or something could come up and you're going to be pulled in a handful of different directions. When I started out the session with you here, we were talking and I said, yeah, fireman, you put out fires. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's the same for me as it is all the way through the organization. You're going to get pulled in a lot of different directions, but I think that having that mindset and being okay with that is a real key to succeeding. I will say that the folks that are here are in FM are really resourceful. They really enjoy what they do. Again, a lot of credit to my department managers. They've got really good training, and they make sure that they are clear with the expectations with the team up front about, you know, we're here for the students. First and foremost, we're here for the students. If they're not here, we're not here.
Right.
And that really does permeate all the layers of the organization. But again, I think a lot of it is after that, it's really being flexible with the day to day. I mean, that's a lot of the reason. I think if you honestly asked a lot of people who work in facilities management, they'll tell you they like what they do in part because every day is a little bit of a puzzle. You don't know how it's quite going to go together. Mm-hmm. And it's a unique challenge.
Yeah.
And there aren't a lot of monotonous, mundane days in facilities. There's always something that could come up or a different problem that needs to be solved. And some days you're all right and you can get a bunch of them taken care of and you're like, yeah, that was easy. I got it. This is great. And some days you're like, oh,
yeah,
all right. Is the day almost over? Because I am beat, and I just, you know, today beat me.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, they do an amazing job. We've
Thank
been
you.
Talking with John Brook, Director of Facilities Management here at UW Parkside. Good luck with the Wiley renovation.
Thank you.
A huge and important project. Hopefully, winter 2019-2020 doesn't throw too many curveballs at you guys. I hope that's the case. And commencement's coming up, so there's another.
That's right, December commencement.
December 14th, where facilities gets very involved with that and making sure the campus looks great for our visitors coming in.
Yeah, so. should be a good time closing out the 2019.
Good.
Yeah.
John, thank you very much.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
Sure. To hear past editions of Parkside Today, visit uwp.edu/parksidetoday. Thanks for listening, everybody.